All right, so what I want to talk today is the sugya of nidcha, the Yom Rishon, specifically as it pertains to something that comes up on Daf Beis and then comes up again on Daf Tes. So as you get through further and further into the first parak, you'll see that there are many recurring themes that come up throughout the first parak. And God willing, when we finish the first parak, I want to really try to give at least one shir that sort of brings it all together. But for now, there are these themes that I want to make clear. And this is a major sugya that's relevant in Kol Tarkula. So let's try to get through it a little bit. So for starters, we have the discussion of whether or not the chagiga that you can bring in the Olas Riyah, that you can bring the rest of Yantiv, is what we call Tashlumin Derishon, or every day is Tashlumin Zelazeh. So what does that mean? What does it mean if we say Kulin Tashlumin Derishon? Yeah?
Only if you're chayiv on the Rishon, you're able to bring it on the following days.
Right, meaning, that's true. What you just said is true, but it's not what it means. That's the ramification of what it is.
Every day is Tashlumin for the first day. What is the mitzvah?
Right, so what is the mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah to bring the korban on the first day? And if you couldn't bring it on the first day, you can bring it the rest of the Yantif. Or is it not a mitzvah to bring it dafka on the first day? There's a mitzvah to bring it on the first day. If you didn't do it on the first day, there's a mitzvah to bring it on the second day. If you didn't do it on the second day, there's a mitzvah to bring it on the third day. And what was the nafkamina that the Gemara had, whether or not it was a mitzvah on each day? Right. Chigir b'yom rishon is pasha b'yom sheni. And huad dinami, you could suggest other similar cases where a person was putter. Person was putter on the first day, and then he became better later in the yantif. Is he now chayiv to bring all of his karbanos? Or was he putter already? The chiyuv is on the first day. If the first day comes and goes, it doesn't. We don't regenerate a new chiyuv, because that was the only day that he was really chayiv, and he didn't have the chiyuv on that particular day. So obviously, if you have a situation where the person simply had a difficulty making it, right, he got sick on the first day, but so he didn't make it that day. But it was understood. He had let's say when my kids get sick, we're always rooting for strep. Why are we always rooting for strep? Because you take your meds, and then 24 hours you're allowed to go back to school. If you know what it is, if it's some random virus, then you never know when it's going to go away. So it could be the kid's going to be home from school for 3 days. So if you know you have strep on day one, so you understand you're going to be bringing your carbon on day two, day three, no problem. So you're still chayiv to bring the korban on the first day. You just can't make it. So you're going to be able to make it up the rest of Yantiv. But if you were mamish patur legamrei on the first day because you were not qualified, you were a chiger, you could not walk on the first day, and it wasn't clear to you that you'd be able. You had some kind of a, sometimes people have these weird situations where they become temporarily paralyzed, or they become a person, God forbid, has a stroke or something like that, and is really not able to walk. I mean, there are people who've had not a real major stroke, but a minor stroke, and the guy can't walk at all. And eventually, within a couple of days, he's better, and he's able to walk. He might not be perfect; he might need a lot of physical therapy and whatever, but he still can get better from that in a short period of time. So the person can be a chigir b'yom rishon, mispash b'yom sheni. So if the whole chiyuv was on the first day, so then he's wasting his time going and bringing the carbon later on. He's not chayiv to bring the carbon at that point. And whereas if really we say every single day is tashlum and zelazeh, so then it's a good idea for him to go and make it up at that point. Okay, so how do we paskin? Skipping now to source number 4 in the Rambam. Misha lo hikriv b'yom tov arishon olas ri'yaso. If a person did not bring his olas ri'yah on the first day, v'shalmei chagiga, so or his korban chagiga, harei zeh makrivan b'shar yimos haregel. So you can bring them the rest of the day. Shenemar shivas yamim tachog l'Hashem elokecha. Melamei shekulan ru'uyin l'chagiga v'kulan tashlumin rishon heim. So the Rambam says, you can bring them the rest of Yantif, as we learn out from the Pasuk, that you should have a Chag, L'Hashem Elokecha, for 7 days. But he adds in that line there, Kulan Tashlumin Derishon, that it's all a makeup for day one. Right? And therefore, the Rambam says, now I'm skipping, it looks very close to the previous Rambam, but if you were looking in actual Mishnah Torah, then we skipped a whole Perek over here. Now, that was Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet. Now we're in Perek Beis Halacha Hey. Misha Haya Chiger Osuma Biyom Rishon V'Nisrape B'Sheni. Person was blind or a person could not walk on the first day and then he got better. Pater min ha-re'io min ha-chagiga. Shebiyom chovaso haya pater. He is pater from bringing the karbanos because the day that the chiv comes from, i.e. the first day of Yantiv, he was pater at that time. Shekoyim osachag tashlum in derishon heim. Kimoshe beyarnu. Everything is just making up for that first day, as we've explained. So too, if you became tamei the night before the korban, even though you're going to become tahor tomorrow, you're still pater. Right. However, let's say you became tamei the morning of. You were on your way to the Beis HaMikdash to bring your korbanos, and you became Tameh. It wasn't a serious Tumah, right? Obviously, you became Tameh Mace. That's it for you, because it's going to take 7 days to become Tahor. But if you became Tameh from a lighter Tumah, came in contact with a dead Sheretz. Right? So, what do you have to do to become Tahor? Go to the mikvah. So you'll be good to go tomorrow. So then, says the Rambam, if you were Tameh the night before, when the Chiyuv set in, so now you never became Chayiv. However, if you become Tameh the morning of, you were already Chayiv. And therefore the Chiyuv continues. As we'll see, that has a nafkamina in many Halacha L'maisa situations for us as well. Okay, so this is the case of the Karbanos that stem from the first day. Rambam paskins kulam tashlum in derishon, and therefore if you were not chayiv when the chiyuv took place, when the yantiv set in, you are never chayiv to bring that korb. With me so far? Simple enough? Okay, so now we're going to go through some other cases where this is relevant. The first one is another korban. So what korban, you know, without even looking, you can cheat if you want and look, but what carbon do we know of that is inherently similar to this idea of tashlum? Right. What do we call that carbon? Right. Well, no. Specifically, it's a special name. That's the general name. Right. What carbon are we referring to? That's specifically subject to tashlum. Right. You're right. But more specific than that, the Pesach Sheni. Right. The carbon Pesach Sheni is a makeup carbon, right? Or is it? Aha. Right? So is it a makeup carbon or not? So the Gemara discusses. Take a look in source number 6, Psachim dot Tzadik Gimel Amid Aleph. The Tanya, we quote the following Brisa, Gershon is Gayer Bein Shnei Psachim. Let's say a guy, he was very inspired. He went to one of the days you're not really supposed to have a non-Jew at your table. But non-Jews end up coming to the more Jewish tables than any other day. I feel like it's the Seder. Right? You guys listen to Ben Shapiro ever? So I like to listen to him sometimes also. And I remember recently, I don't know if it was recently, but I was listening. He was talking about, the Seder is the best. And he was like recommending on the show that anybody who could get to a Seder should go see a Seder. It's so great. I'm like, no, don't go to the Seder. Like, you're not allowed to have a non-Jew at your Yontif table. It's
what? Shabbos.
It was Shabbos also? That's, I guess if you're only holding one day of Yontif, if you're only holding one day Yontif, you're good to go. But if it's the Yontif Sheni Shogolios, you can't have a non-Jew for reasons that you're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew on Yontif. You're allowed to cook for a Jew, you're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew. So the Gzeirah Derabanan, unless you come to cook on behalf of your non-Jewish guest. So if you want to have a non-Jew over, ironically, much better to have him for Shabbos than to have him for Yontif. But nevertheless, so this guy, he listened to Ben Shapiro, and he decided he was going to go to the Seder. And he went to the Seder, and he's like, wow, this Judaism thing is fantastic. Right? You get to read from a book for hours and hours, and then you get to eat some crackers, and then you get to, right, and then you get to eat some horseradish. Oh, this is geschmack. Like, he was very excited to become Jewish. And so he decided, he's going to be Megayer right away. And he found Beis Din to be Megayer him. So the question is, does he have to bring the Korban Pesach Sheni or not? So Gershon is Geyer Bein Shnei Pesachim. You have a Geyer who became Jewish in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. V'chein Katan Shehigdil Bein Shnei Pesachim. Or, more likely, you have a child who became a Bar Mitzvah in between the two Pesachim. Chayev Lasos Pesach Sheni Divrei Rebbe. So according to the opinion of Rebbe, he has to bring the Pesach Sheni. Because even though he wasn't chayev in the Pesach Rishon at the time when Pesach set in, he still has to bring the Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Kol she zakuk l'rishon, zakuk l'sheni. Kol she'ena zakuk l'rishon, ena zakuk l'sheni. What are you talking about? It's a makeup for the Pesach Rishon. Why would you bring a Pesach Sheni if you weren't chayev in Pesach Rishon? So that's a fair argument. So b'maykom l'flugi. So what's the machlokas? Says the Gemara. Rebbe sovar sheni regel b'fnei atzmahu. Rebbe holds that the Pesach Sheni is its own yantif. If you're chayiv in the Korban Pesach, by the time Pesach Sheni comes around, you bring the Korban Pesach. If you're not, then you don't. How could you not be chayiv if you already brought the Pesach Rishon? You're not chayiv in the Pesach Sheni. But it's its own chiyuv. It's not something that's a carryover from day one. That is comparable to which shita in our Gemara? Not exactly the same, but it's comparable. Right? Tashlum and Zelazeh. Each one is a makeup on its own. It's not a makeup in the sense that the real chiyuv was Pesach Rishon, and now you're making up for a Pesach Sheni. If you didn't do the Pesach Rishon, there's a chiyuv Pesach Sheni. It's its own chiyuv. Whereas, Rabbi Nassan holds, no. Sheni tashlum and derishon hu tikkunei lerishon lo maskin lei. There is no reason to fix the situation because he never broke anything on the first Pesach. So nothing was ever broken that needed fixing. Right? So the more common situation of the two, somebody becomes bar mitzvah between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So now you know what he's going to say, what Shtickle Torah is going to say over at his bar mitzvah. Right? It's not really true. What Shtickle Torah is he really going to say over at his bar mitzvah? Right? Specifically what? Exactly, right? The suffix of the Minchas Chinuch, right? Minchas Chinuch asks the question, what if a bar mitzvah, you know, what if you become bar mitzvah in the middle of Sviras HaOmer? So the Baal Halachos Gedolos holds, maybe, he never said this, but the way some Rishonim and many Achronim understand the Baal Halachos Gedolos, that each day is a part of a 49-part mitzvah, and therefore the guy becomes bar mitzvah, the guy becomes a ger on day 25, so is he chayiv to count Svira or not? So that's the whole suffix. Was he counting before B'toras Chinuch? Was it not? So it's not actually a parallel to this case, because there, we're saying it's not that day 26 is a makeup for day 25. There it's a question of, did you already miss out on half the mitzvah, so don't bother doing the other half. Right? So it's not a good parallel per se, but nevertheless, that is the more popular question that everybody likes to ask. There are many other explanations of what the Bahag really meant that may preclude the whole Shaila from being asked. But anyway, check out that Minchas Chinuch if you get a chance, if you're ready. We're not bar mitzvah during Svira and didn't already give that drasha. But that's the more popular thing. However, only slightly less popular is, do you have to bring the Korban Pesach Sheni or not? Everybody wants a good kachim dvar Torah at a bar mitzvah. Come on, guys. So you have to, you got to be ready to go. So the Gemara has this suffix, and it's exactly parallel to the suffix that we have in our Gemara. Okay, so those are two examples when it comes to korbanos of, does the chiyuv of the first day carry over, or does the chiyuv regenerate if you were not able to do it on the first day? Now I'll show you something which is much more, hopefully, not sola maisa, but it's actually maisa for people this past Shabbos, and unfortunately it happens from time to time. So the Rush was faced with the following question. This is in the Mishnah of Mishameso Mutalafanov. Right, if you wanna grab a copy it, so back here. So Mishameso Mutalafana of the third parak of Meseches Brachos. So the discussion of the Ptur of Mitzvos, right? You guys know the term Onin, right? So what is an Onin? Somebody? Yeah? Right. Someone's relative have died and they have not yet been buried. So what are the halachos of an Onin? Before you answer, I'm telling you in advance a trick question. What are the halachos of an Onin? Yeah?
If he's engaging with the burial process, then he's
a public defender. So, ha, you fell for my trick. Ha. All right? No. So that's, so I told you in advance it was a trick question. So you're obviously right, but you're not exactly right. Let me explain why. In the Torah, there actually is a description of what an Onin is or is not allowed to do. Does anybody know what the Torah says an Onin is or is not allowed to do? So an Onin is not allowed to eat kudshim. He's not allowed to eat truma, I believe, if he's a Kohen. And that's basically the halachos of aninus as it applies min haTorah. And that applies the first day that the person dies and the day of their burial. However, midrabbanan, there's a concept called mishameso mutalafana. Now, that doesn't mean he's only pater on a level of derabbanan. It means that it's not the law of an onen in the Torah. Mishameso mutalafana is likely based on a concept of osek b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. As you said, if he's osek in the mitzvah in some way, so then he's pater from all the mitzvahs. So, often, various svarim will refer to this individual as an onin, but he's not actually an onin with a capital aleph. He's an onin with a lowercase aleph, meaning that he's actually the technical term for this guy is mishameso mutalafana. An onin is someone who's not allowed to eat kudshim and meiser and truma and things like that. But lemaisa, this guy is an onin. Okay, he became what we call colloquially an onin, and the person died over Shabbos, and now he wants to know what's he supposed to do about Havdalah. So let's read a little bit inside from this long comment of the Rush in the beginning of the third parak of Meseches Brachos. So we're on the top line over there, towards the end of the line. Amru, Shepam Achas Hayari Zal. This is the Bala Tosfos, the Ri. So he was once an Onain, the Ochal below Havdalah. So he wasn't able to make Havdalah. He had a family member die over Shabbos. And he ate, you know, you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. Right? Trivia question. What's the only time you have to repeat Shmon Esrei if you forgot Atachan Antanu? Well, I kind of gave you the answer. So the Gemara says, black on white, that if you forget Atachan Antanu, you don't repeat the Shmon Esrei. Right? But if you didn't yet make Havdalah, and you ate before Havdalah, then we put a knas on you and we require you to dab marav again with Atochon Antanu. So, okay, that's just a side point. But here he said he ate before Havdalah. Amar le Talmid ben Avdol Fanech, we'll make Havdalah for you. Amar lehem, ha'aminu b'yushalmi, imbarchu ein onach re'em amein. No, I'm not even allowed to answer amein to your brachos when I'm an oni. U'macharaso, kishababi beis hakvaros, amar lo lama eincha osa Havdalah, ha'aminan to'am mavdil. So then, after the funeral, his Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, how come you're not making Havdalah? Even though you ate, you can still make Havdalah. V'heshiv lahem, me'achar shayisi potter emesh, b'shas achiyuv, Havdalah, mishum shayisi onen, gam ata potter ani. Since I was potter yesterday, when the chiyuv Havdalah began, I remain potter. Shekein matzina per kama de chagiga, that's us. Right? This is a tashlum in the Rishon business. Because I wasn't chayiv when the onset of Havdalah came on, when the chiyuv Havdalah set in, I'm not at all chayiv in Havdalah. That is the shita of the Ri. And he quotes our Gemara as his raya. Yeah. Yesterday. Yeah.
Why is there aninus on Shabbos in general if you can't bury the body?
So you could argue that the aninus is not on Shabbos, but Mimanoshah, once the Shabbos was over and the Chiyuv Havdalah began, it was technically mutter for him to bury the body as well, and he was an Onin Ba'os Hashad. You could say it's like a Ba'an Ke'echad business at that point.
Would you be able to say like on top of the Kandu before Shabbos ends?
So that's a good question. Yeah, maybe he could have got it in there. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like it would work. Okay, so that is the Shita of the Reef. The Rabbeinu Meir Zal de Nuremberg. Anybody ever heard of the Rabbeinu Meir of Nuremberg? Me neither, except for this rush. It's probably referring to Rabbeinu Meir of Rutenberg, of Rothenburg, two different cities in Germany, right? Lovely place, Germany. So there was the Nuremberg trials, but there was the Rothenburg Rabbeinu Meir, the Maram Rutenberg, who was the Rebbe of the Rush, right? So this is the Rush quoting his Rebbe. Whenever the Rush quotes his Rebbe, he's referring to Maram Rutenberg, considered by many to be the last of the Balei HaTosfos. The famous Sefer, you guys probably use it when you learn in Yeshiva, the Sefer Tosfos HaRush. Right, you're familiar with such a sefer? Mm-hmm. If you're not, you should become familiar with it. It's a more authentic version of Tosfos than the ones the publishers didn't really get their hands on it as much. So those were the Tosfos that the Maram Rutenberg taught his Talmud the Rush. The top three Talmidim of the Maram Rutenberg were the Rush, Mordechai, and Nagos Maimoni. He's not as well known as some of the other Rishonim, but in terms of being Koveya, the whole Mesorah, Psak Halacha for Ashkenazim, really the Maram Rutenberg was extremely, extremely important. We have time for one thing. I'll tell you one little cute Jewish history bit. You guys know the story of how the Maram Rutenberg died?
No.
So most of you do or don't know it? He was in prison. Yeah. So Maram Rutenberg was, in those days, it was like a thing to put people in jail and then hold them for ransom. And it was a business. You know, it's like if you live in Mexico City nowadays, it's nothing personal. Kidnapping is a business. No, I'm serious. So it was a business. The government in Rothenburg, Germany, they took the Maram. Maram was the chief, official or unofficial chief rabbi of Germany. He's the chash of a rabbi. We'll put him in jail. We'll extort some money from the Jews. And they charged an exorbitant ransom. And the Maram refused to allow anyone to pay the ransom. And he put a cheirim out. He said, anyone who pays the ransom is going to be in cheirim, even for my body after I'm dead. You're not allowed to pay the ransom. And the legend is, who knows if it's true, the legend is that the Rush was allowed to visit his Rebbe in prison, and that's when he realized Maram knew he was going to die in prison, so he told over all the traditions of the Balei HaTosfos to the Rush, and that's how the Tosfos HaRush came to be. But you can take that one or leave it. Either way, Maram did teach the Rush all the traditions of the Balei HaTosfos, and that's how the Tosfos HaRush came to be. But never, he did die in prison, and they didn't redeem the body for a number of years after his death. Eventually, when it sort of blew over, they paid the ransom and they released him, and he was able to be buried in a normal cemetery. However, the Rush realized that he was now the de facto chief rabbi of Germany, realized it would probably be smart to skip town. So he went to the really safe place for Jews called Spain. It's July 4th, so it's Kedai to remember how it was for the Jews elsewhere. The Rav Moshe writes about it, the United States of America is a true Medina Shel Chesed. Obviously, we all belong in Eretz Yisrael, but nevertheless, we have to have a tremendous Hakaras HaTov to the United States of America for keeping us as safe as they do. So the Rush went to Spain, and the Rush eventually, the Rush... now living in a Sephardic country, became very close colleagues with the Rashba, the big Talmud. So you had now the big Talmud of the Balei HaTosfos and the big Talmud of the Chachmei Sfarad, the Talmud of the Ramban, the Rashba, and coming converging and different styles in Psak Halacha. And the son of the Rush was Rabbeinu Yaakov Bal HaTurim. Why is he called the Bal HaTurim? Because he wrote some really awesome gematrias. No, why? Because he wrote the Tur. Right, I always say it's the opposite, meaning why do they call the Pirish on the Chumash the Bal HaTurim? Why do they call it the Bal HaTurim? I taina based on nothing, but that the reason they call it the Bal HaTurim is they want you to remember when you're, this is wild, Vortluch, whatever, it's not Amistik. They say, no, this is the Posek who wrote the tour. Like, this is not just some, you know, some stuff that he's coming up with. He's not a gematria specialist. He's the Gadol Hador in Halacha, and he also does this, so he holds, you know, should take it seriously. So it's important to keep that in mind, right? So, okay, so Lamaisa, what was the tour? The tour was someone who was living in Spain amongst the Spanish style of Psak Halacha, but also had all the traditions of the Balei HaTosfos. So he wrote this work, which basically was a digest of all of Halacha from the Rishonim up until that point. And obviously, once the Torah was published, about 100 years later, comes along Rav Yosef Karo and Rav Moshe Isserles, and they write the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe, which became what? Eventually, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Right? So, if you think about it, historically speaking, from hindsight, what happened when the German government decided to put the Maram in prison? That was the event that started the publication of the Shulchan Aruch. If you think about how that works, right? So, unbeknownst to them, they were actually ushering in a new renaissance of halacha to Klal Yisrael. This is what the Jewish people do with hardship. Baruch Hashem, we take these difficult situations and we produce greater Torah. So, okay. So anyway, this is a quote now from the Maram in Rutenberg. The Rush says, Rabbeinu Meir holds that no, and he writes, where did he write this? He wrote a commentary on Hilchos Avelus called Hilchos Smachos is Lashon Saginar for Hilchos Avelus. So, Mishiyesh lo meis b'shabes v'lo nikbar ad l'machar v'lo yevdil b'motzei shabes nir elishem mutter lechol b'lo avdala. He's certainly allowed to eat, right? We quoted it before. I'm skipping a little bit. Uviyom ha-machras, la'achar shenik bar meser, asur lechol lat sheyavdil, da'kayim alan barbi psachim to'am mavdil. But once the body is buried, now he has to make havdalah. V'amrina nami, mishalo yevdil motzei shabbos, ma'adol lechol shabbos kula. You can make havdalah all week, right? We say until what night? Until, right, beginning of Wednesday, end of Tuesday night. Right, so you're allowed to make havdalah the whole week that's shayach to the previous Shabbos. So the Maram holds that you're chayev to make havdalah, whereas the Ri holds that you're putter. Skipping a little to the underlines now. V'imke menidon zeh kevan d'zman havdalah kol yom ha-machras v'kol ha-shabbos kula av v'bishel o'e yachol la-havdil kodim shenik bar meso yavdil afa shenik bar meso kideprishis. So what is the Maram saying? Because the zman continues throughout, because you're allowed to make havdalah through the end of Tuesday, so why are you telling me that just because I was putter to make havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, I don't make havdalah on Monday or Tuesday? Of course I can make havdalah. As long as I became chayev during the Zman Chiyuv, I'm good to go. Whereas the Ri says, no, since on the time where the Chiyuv was chal, you were putter for making havdalah, you don't make havdalah now. This is the machlokas here. Now, I'll just tell you on this. There's a comment of Rabbi Chana Wasserman. I didn't give you this inside. It's because it's part of a bigger discussion. Rabbi Chana Wasserman wants to suggest this is a machlokes between the Balei HaTosfos, the Ri and the Maram, whether when it's osik, when we say osik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah, is it hutra or is it dechuya? You guys familiar with those terms? Is there halachic terms that come up very frequently when a person is potter from doing a mitzvah? Is it Hutra, the mitzvah, ke'ilu for him does not exist? He's completely potter from the mitzvah? Or is it dechuya? It's just pushed aside. But really the mitzvah exists for him. He's just potter from doing it right now. But when, as soon as that blockade is lifted, he's going to be chayav to do that mitzvah. That's how Rabbi Chana wants to learn it. And that is certainly a very valid way to learn it. And big nafkaminas on Hilchos Shabbos, right? Hilchos Shabbos, when a person has to be in Hatzalah, or a person is a doctor, or has to do something for Pikuach Nefesh, there's a whole big shaila in Halacha, is Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos Hutra or Dechuya? Right? So, if it's Hutra, you just do everything in the simplest possible way, you violate Shabbos as much as necessary, you don't try to minimize the Chilul Shabbos at all, you just take care of business. If it's Dechuya, you say, I'm being Mechal Shabbos. Now I'm allowed to, but what I'm doing is an act of Chilul Shabbos. Therefore, I should try to minimize the amount of Chilul Shabbos that I'm going to do so long as it doesn't endanger the patient, obviously. That's why a lot of doctors will buy special electronics, right? You know what I'm talking about? A lot of hospitals in Israel, they have stuff made by Machon Tzomet, where they do things that work, i.e. they grumma. It's a shiloh in the poskim whether or not this is real grumma, but it's assuming that it works, that it's really grumma, it's worth using them in case Shabbos is only dechuya, right? So that's why we try to minimize the amount of chil Shabbos. Again, that's not for you and I. We're just regular people. You just get the job done. You try to save that life. You know, for people who do this all the time and they know what they're doing, so they can try. They know how to when they are and when they're not endangering the patient. They can do it in a way that's a little bit more. You can do things kil achar yad. You can do things in a way where you're minimizing the amount of chil Shabbos. Okay, that's also this idea of butcher versus dechuya. So that's one way to look at this machlokas. But another way to look at the machlokas is just through the lens of what we've been saying all along. What is the chiyuv of Havdalah? Is the chiyuv of Havdalah from the beginning of Shabbat, of Motzei Shabbos through the end of Tuesday? Or no, the chiyuv of Havdalah is punct at the end of Shabbos. Right? And then whatever that chiyuv carries over and has a tashlumin throughout, but it's not a new chiyuv on Monday night. It's not a new chiyuv on Tuesday night. It's the original chiyuv that set in on Motzei Shabbos, and it's all a tashlumin of that. And that's why the Ri quotes our Gemara. The Ri quotes the Gemara of Kulan Tashlumin Derishon. So if by Korban Chagiga and Korban Olas Re'ia we're going to paskin, it's all Tashlumin Derishon, so too, by Havdalah we're going to paskin, it's Tashlumin Derishon. And it's Mistaver. Why? Because what's the whole kunz of Havdalah? What is the whole point of Havdalah? Certainly according to the Rambam, right? What is the whole goal of Havdalah? Right? To announce, right? The Rambam holds Havdalah's Doraisa, the same Chiyuv of Kiddush. Ram says, when it says Zochor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, so it's Zochreyu b'knisaso u'bitziyaso. You're supposed to mention when Shabbos comes in and when Shabbos goes out. So you're supposed to announce that the Kedusha of Shabbos has now left. So, okay, so when are you supposed to do that? Monday night? You're allowed to do it on Monday night, but that's a makeup for Motzei Shabbos. That's not a new Chiyuv that starts on Monday night. Whereas the Maram says, no. The Zman continues on, it's Tashlum and Zelazat. It's a case where if you didn't do it on Motzei Shabbos, you do it Sunday night. You didn't do it Sunday night, you do it Monday night. And the Chiyuv rolls over. It's not that the Chiyuv is that minute that Shabbos ended and you can just make it up later. The Chiyuv rolls over. Halacha l'maisa, if you look to the very bottom, v'nir eli k'divir Rabbi Yehuda, da'ad amin b'arvei psach ha'mishalo hivdo Motzei Shabbos ma'abdo v'holech kol ha'shabbos kula haynu k'shelo hayo yayin b'motzei Shabbos. So he says, the idea in the Gemara that says you can make Havdalah the whole week, that's only, let's say you didn't have wine for Havdalah. Acher shelo hayo la yachal ha'avdil. So I'm sorry, oshiru lo onis. Acher shelo hayo yachal ha'avdil. Some kind of difficulty he set in that he wasn't able to make Havdalah. Avo onain, dibisha shechal alav chiyuv Havdalah yapater niftar legamre. The Sulo Mechayer. So the Rush goes against his Rebbe, and he paskins like the Ri. Right? He paskins like the Ri, because he says, you weren't Chayev in Havdalah when it's set in. And we say that it's Kulan Tashlum in the Rishon, and therefore, it's not like a case where you were Chayev, you just weren't able to make Havdalah because you didn't have any wine. It's talking about you weren't Chayev in Havdalah Bechlal. It's exactly the case in Chagiga. And therefore, you would be putter from Havdalah. Yeah.
What are we trying to suggest that the Maharam holds that it's a new Chiyuv? Why can't it just be a continuation of the same Chiyuv?
Because you were putter from the time that the Chiyuv said it. No, that's how, in other words, if you could say that, that's how Rabbi Chanan learns. Rabbi Chanan says, you weren't really putter, you were still Chayiv, you just couldn't make, meaning, Rabbi Chanan learns that it's like the case where you don't have wine. You're chayev to make Havdalah, you just can't because you don't have any wine. Right? But you could say, like the Rosh is learning, no, you weren't chayev at all. That's how Rabbi Chanan learns. But you could easily say that they're arguing, is it kulan tashlumin derishon or tashlumin zelazat? Right? I'm not suggesting one better than the other. But I'm saying I think they're both valid mahalchim. Okay. So, a couple of other nafkaminas. If you look, so Shulchan Aruch quotes this Psak Lalacha. We're not going to read it inside right now. But on that Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Ayin Aleph, so says the Magen Avram in his opening Sifkatan, V'nirali, I underline that part, V'nirali dekodem chatzos yispalo shachris. So let's say you buried the body before midday, so that's the b'dieved zman that you could daven shachris. So let's, I think the lechachil is man for the alufim, no? So I'm just kidding, I don't care. But the what goes in beitas avol brach berchas shachar nirali shelo yomar kevan shebe es shas chovaso yapater kamosh kasev yoredei simin shemem aleph leinyan havdala. So he says, if you look in Yoredeia about Havdalah, right, Yoredeia is talking about Hilchos Avelus, you look in the Mechaber in Hilchos Avelus, he paskins like the Rush, you don't make Havdalah like the Re. Right? So he says, just like you wouldn't make Havdalah like the Re, so too you wouldn't make Birch HaShachar. Because when time Birch HaShachar set in, you were Pater. When the sun rose, and you're supposed to say, Asher Nasan L'Sech Mivina, right? So you were Pater from that. Because you already took your first steps, and you're supposed to say Amichem Tzadigav. You were in Onin at that time, meaning the funeral. Let's say happens at 10 a.m. So the sun's been up since 6 a.m. You were chayav Birchas Hashachar. You say Mal B'Sharuma when you got dressed. You were chayav to say Roka Aratolamayim when you stood up on the floor, right? So etc. So you were putter from mitzvahs at that time. So you don't, when the body is buried, you don't have to say the Birchas HaShachar later, because the Chiyuv never set in for you. So he's learning this and extending it to Birchas HaShachar, saying, no, it doesn't apply to Shachris. Right? If you look quickly, the Tiferes Shmuel, which is one of the commentaries on the bottom of the Rush. So he says, yeah, there's an easy chiluk between the two. He says that Birchas HaShachar, the Chiyuv could set in right when you wake up in the morning and do those Meisim. However, Shachris for sure not. Shachris is not like Havdalah. It's not like the Karban Chagiga, where like it sets in punct at that moment. Shachris is the whole time. The Zman Shachris, you're no more or less chayiv to daven Shachris at 8 a.m. versus 9 a.m. versus 6 a.m. You're equally chayiv at all times. It's not that the chiyuv sets in right at sunrise and now you're just making it up till the end of the Zman. So that's the difference. Zavada, you would be chayef to say, obviously, Kriyashma, same thing. Just because the Zman, Kriyashma, you were an Oni, doesn't mean you wouldn't say Kriyashma after the body is buried. But Birchas HaShachar, he says, maybe that's different. That is the sheet of the Magen Avram. The Rav Pa'olim, which is one of the sets of tshuvas of the Ben Ish Chai. You guys know the Ben Ish Chai? Right? The unofficial chief rabbi. He never actually held a rabbinic position in his life. But he was the unofficial chief rabbi of Baghdad, which doesn't sound very prestigious nowadays, but at the time it was. One of the great Sephardi communities was in Iraq, in Bavel, and he was the unofficial chief rabbi of Baghdad. And he writes in a tshuva, he says, what are you talking about? There's a big machlokas rishonim, why we say Birchas HaShachar? Do we say Birchas HaShachar based on the hanah that we get? Right, so when I put on my clothing, I say Mal B'Sharumim. Let's say I'm not putting on clothing, I sleep in my clothes, I get up. Do I say Mal B'Sharumim at that point? So, we paskin, you do. Why do we paskin, you do? Because the what he considers to be the Rov Rishonim, not like the Rambam, the Rov Rishonim hold that we're making the bracha on what we call the Tivo Shel Olam. I don't hear the rooster crow in the morning, even in camp, right? I'm sleep right through that, but I still say even though the Gemara says you're supposed to say it when the rooster crows. Why? Because I'm saying it on the Tivo Shel Olam. Just that we're making these brachos on the nature of the world, and therefore the brachos are still shayach, not because of what I just did. I don't have to make the bracha of Rokal Aretz Alamayim when I stand up Dafka, because I'm saying Hashem, thank you for making dry land where human beings can walk around and enjoy, right? So that's the idea. It's on the Tivo Shel Olam, and therefore if the bracha is on the Tivo Shel Olam, it's like tefillah. It doesn't just set in the morning and then everything's making up for the morning. Yeah.
The
Rambam would, yeah. If you look carefully, he says specifically that what the Magen Avraham is describing only makes sense according to the Rambam. Right? However, we Paskin is saying in Shulchan Aruch, not like the Rambam. The Vilna Gaon is a very big fan of that Rambam. He says that that's really the way you should make Birch HaShachar. He says, but we Paskin, no. Like, even a blind man can say Pokeach Ivrim, because Hashem made most of the world able to see, and he benefits from other people who can see. It's not a Birch HaNen in the classic sense. It's a bracha, praising Hashem for the way the world is. Right? So, what? That's in the, you can look in the Chuvas Rav Pa'alim, source number 11. And just one last ha'ara on this. The Mishnah Brura quotes both Deos. He says, Yesh Cholkim. And he says, Safik Brachos Lahakil. He says, we Paskin, the Mishnah Brura likes to Paskin, Safik Brachos Lahakil. And he says, therefore you shouldn't say the Birch HaShachar out of concern for the Shita of the Magen Avraham that you really putter. And therefore, Safik Brachos Lahakil, except for those that you're definitely chayivim. Birchsat Torah, Shalosani Goy, Shalosani Yavit, Shalosani Isha, right? Those are clearly not based on waking up or getting a particular type of hana. Okay, and then he goes on to discuss something which we talked about at the beginning. He says, but let's say the person died 5 minutes into the day. So that's like the case we talked about if the person becomes tameh, right? If the person dies 5 minutes into the day, then even the Magen Avraham would agree that you're chayv in Birch HaShachar. Because the chiyuv set in for Birch HaShachar, it's like if the person dies 5 minutes after Shabbos. So you're chayv in Havdalah at that point. Now, you didn't make Havdalah, but once the body is buried, everyone would agree you make Havdalah then, right? Because you were chayv in Havdalah, then you got pushed aside, but now you're back to being chayv. So in those circumstances, everybody would agree you're chayv. One cute nafkamina, I promised to go shorter, so it's still shorter than yesterday, but I'll just say this over in 1 minute or less, is for Tisha B'Av and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz this year. Another cute nafkamina is, right, what year is what day of the week is the ninth day of Av? Right, this year, the ninth day of Av is not Tisha B'Av, right? Tisha B'Av is really on the 10th, because it's being pushed off to Shabbos. So there's a big machlokes. What is the nature of this dechia? Is it really that Shabbos is Tisha B'Av and Yud B'Av is a makeup? Or no, Yud B'Av is really the fast day. It's really the day. Maybe some other time we'll describe why that is. So what if you have a bar mitzvah boy who becomes bar mitzvah on Yud B'Av? Is he chayv to fast or not? So it's like the same thing as the case with the Karban Pesach Sheni. He becomes bar mitzvah in between. So is it a makeup for yesterday? In which case, he was not chayiv in mitzvos yesterday. Maybe he wouldn't be chayiv to fast. But if it's its own new fast day, so then he would be chayiv to fast. Same idea as what we've been discussing here. So it's relevant on, you know, this year and last year and some other times. Anyway, have a good evening, guys.